This message tonight is really one of those ones that, in my personal opinion, you ought to put in your Bible and keep for a while. This is talking about the process of change in a very concrete way. We started off talking about what is the real problem, and it's sin. Sin is a problem, and sin is a problem even for us, and we need to be honest about it. Sin has a way of kind of overtaking us. The promise is from our God, who says he'll provide mercy and forgiveness if we'll come to him on his terms, not ours. And the process is to live by God's grace, which we have to do by having faith in who he is and his revealed word. And then we need to understand our identity. We have a very unique privilege in that we are the children of God. But in light of our fleshly orientation, we need to really remind ourselves that we have been bought with a price. We have tons of responsibility. And this idea we have rights is not to be found in the New Testament. We have responsibilities to live to bring him glory. In the midst of that, he will bless us. A couple weeks ago, we talked about ownership. We need to recognize we have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility for where you are today. You know that? Whether it be right where you want to be or where it be so far from where you want to be, you have responsibility. And I have responsibility. And we ought to own up. We need to just recognize it. And here's the problem with our culture. Our culture has trained every one of us to blame somebody else for almost everything, if not everything. And that just doesn't fly in God's picture. In the end, you're going to stand before God alone. There's going to be no excuses. We've been given the word. We have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. We've been given the word. And we've been given, if you come to know Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God living within you. Stop making excuses for why you're sinning. We need to respond. No matter what your circumstances, we need to respond in such a way that we bring honor and glory to God. We need to take aim at the challenges that we have in our lives that are not holy and not God-honoring. We need to just identify them and then be about taking action, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. It isn't easy to take action. I would be lying if I said that. It is not easy. He does say his burden, there's a sense in which the burden is lighter and the yoke is lighter and easy. Yes, the scripture speaks to that, but it's not easy. It's not easy to be the man or the woman that God wants you to be. It's much easier just to go with the flow of the world. Doesn't end up in a very nice place, but it is much easier. It isn't easy to go God's way. But you and I can do it. We can do all things through Christ to strengthen us. It requires God's help, no question about it. It requires connecting with his word. It requires prayer. It requires certain disciplines that really are tremendously important to undergirding us so we can have victory in our life. There's no quick fix to problems that you've created over lots of years. But going God's way, you can have victory from every one of those sinful patterns. You do not have to tolerate sinfulness, and you do not have to tolerate woe is me because this happened in the past. Scripture very specifically says we're to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's written from that was written by a man who's in prison, who had been beaten multiple times, but was thrilled to be serving God. It does take planning. The Christian walk does not happen in automatic pilot. I'll tell you what, I can give testimony of that in my own life, and anyone else that's been a Christian for any length of time, you can give testimony of the fact, you know, when you put your Christian walk into automatic pilot, it doesn't stay on the path. It has a very quick way to crashing in or going into the ditch. It's not automatic. First thing we need to have is the right attitude. The second is we need to do some preparation. And the third is we need to follow a biblical process. What is the importance of attitude to change. Think of that. Your attitude and change. How do they connect? Any thoughts? Once we are committed to the proposition that God is a good father and he desires the best for us, that's huge. You know, that's in the midst of your situation that could be an absolute shipwreck. God is still a good father, and he still desires to chart you through the waters. And I'm telling you, I'm talking about even in situations where you're struggling with death or very difficult, painful situations. Then we're ready to practice his methods, but we need to first and foremost recognize who he is and trust him. And then we're ready to set out on the course with a trust in God and then an understanding of his way of change. We're ready to go forward and find some victory in our life. This verse, Matthew chapter, you know, has the same passage basically in Matthew, and in Mark chapter 12, 28 to 31, it talks about what? The great commandment. And what is it? It's right here. It says, first commandment of all, Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Father is one, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God. Think about that for a second. You should love the Lord your God. Remember, this is agape love, so it means that the way you love is not an emotional situation here. It is a volitional decision of your will. I said that it's kind of like a play on words there, volitional decision of your will. It is a decision you make to give of yourself, meet his needs, meet his desires in the case of God. He has no needs, actually, but he has desires for us, and you just say, all right, I'm going to be God's man. I'm going to be God's woman. That is what I'm going to do. And even if nothing comes else out of this thing, I'm doing that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourselves. And there's no other commandment greater than these. Wow. What is that saying? It's saying that there ought to be a tremendous commitment to our God. There ought to be a tremendous trust in him and a tremendous commitment to him. Speaking of trust, we have the love of God, the love of our neighbors. We have the trust in the Lord with all our hearts. How do we do that? Well, you could do that tonight with your situation, whatever it would be. You know, I'm thinking of the one prayer request where a sister-in-law is in real, real financial troubles. Well, if you can do what you can do, you know, there's only so much we can do to help others in a financial way, okay? There are limits in that. But we can trust our Lord. They can trust the Lord. And we are to do it. How committed are we to be to trusting in our Lord, no matter how difficult the circumstance? Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All of your heart. Now, that's not easy when the walls are crumbling. But that's clearly what it's challenging us to make a decision of our will to do. I'm going to trust God. I don't know. I cannot see how this has any sort of a positive outcome. I'm going to trust God. I am going to, you know, when you trust God, you purpose to honor him in the midst of the trouble. That's the way it looks. You honor him even when it looks bleak, even when it looks painful, even if it would mean martyrdom, you would trust him. That's how far this goes, all the way. And lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Before I go on to that one, it's telling us to love our Lord, to trust our Lord, and to follow his leading. You ought to write those three down. You're told, and I am told, to love the Lord, to trust the Lord, and to follow his leading. By the way, you get direction. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to his word. You get it in the word of God. You also get it from godly counsel, and you get it from the prompting of the Spirit of God. Now we're talking about this. What is the importance of preparation to change? Well, Peter learned as a minimum. What did Peter do at the start? He denied Jesus Christ. This is an important reminder, tremendous encouragement to my own heart when I thought through this. Peter denied him. He said, no, I'll stand with you. I'll go all the way. I'll do martyrdom. I'll do whatever you want. And on just almost within hours, he said, no, I didn't know him. I didn't know him. I didn't know him. Just like God had predicted. Just how the Lord had predicted. Peter learned to minimize that one who denies the Lord could be forgiven. Now that can be encouragement to some. Maybe an encouragement to you. You may have really blown it, but if you will repent, he forgives. No matter what you've done. Number two, that the one who denies the Lord could be strengthened and become a pillar in the church of Jesus Christ. Some in here have experienced in different social sins. And in many cultures, in many Christian cultures, oh, you've done that, you're over there forever. You always ride on the other side of the, you stand outside the fence. You're never really in the inner group because you did that. That's not the way God works. I'm telling you, if you will love the Lord, you will trust him, and you will follow him. Follow his ways. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. God can use you mightily. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore gird up the loins of your mind. What do you think that's talking about? I'll tell you what it's talking about. I was with a person this morning, talking on the phone through the glass. What was I doing? I was at the jail visiting someone. And you know, it was a non-contact visit, talking through the glass. You know what the message was? The problem is you didn't discipline your mind. Our culture is full of people who are totally undisciplined. They're allowing themselves to be entertained with music that is very wicked. They're allowing themselves to be entertained with videos and movies and films and all sorts of things that are wicked. And I'm telling you, when you don't discipline yourself to shut that stuff off, you're doing the opposite of what it's saying here. You're not girding up the loins of your mind. You're not doing any sort of a defense. You're not doing anything to maintain. You're not doing anything to build up. And you're wondering why. You're crashing and burning. No mystery to me. You got to make a decision of your will. You're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart? You're going to trust him? Are you going to follow his way for life? And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You discipline your mind, and then you rest in the beauty of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A lot of people aren't prepared for change because they're afraid of what it looks like. They've gotten comfortable with the mud puddle that they're living in. And they get comfortable with it, and they say, well, you know, I don't really want to go over there. I don't know what to do when I get over there. Well, you better discipline yourself to gird up the loins of your mind, and you better adopt the spirit that is not of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind that is grounded in God. He's told us we don't have to cave into our fears. We are to be bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the importance of change? Importance of a right process in change? Look at this. It says, your mind is critical. The way you think is critical. You know, one of the problems I have with a lot of the secular treatment programs, it's this. You would think that the answer to their problems is environment and changing a few habits. You just don't do that anymore, and you live here instead. Our neighborhood is a phenomenal testimony that that has no bearing. Our neighborhood, although we are rated among one of the 10, Minneapolis is rated one of the 10 most violent, crime-ridden places in the United States. Now, that ought to give us real comfort recognizing that our neighborhood has about 50% of the crime in just our 30,000 people around here. Just in this real neighborhood, we have about 50% of all of Minneapolis's crime. You recognize what that, where that puts our neighborhood? Percentage-wise? But the buildings look nice. Because we spend a ton of money on making sure the houses are painted and the things are done right to look nice. We'd even clean up the streets relative to most ghettos. This place looks good. But it doesn't change anybody's heart. And that's the point. And you change it by getting to your mind. The word is quick and powerful. Prepare our minds for action. Really critical. Number two. Notice what it says in the last part. Rest your hope fully on it. Focus on the grace that will be ours when Jesus is revealed. You know what that, when the revelation of Jesus Christ, you know what it's saying to me? At least the way I read this verse and the way I get encouraged about this verse is that I'm reminded that I'm only a sojourner here. I am just a traveling through, and I have got to always keep my focus that I am going to eternity, and that's where the rewards are. Too many people get crushed because they try to live for God here, and then they do not get the blessings they think are proportional to their efforts to live for God. It's not about this life. This life is a testing time for us to live for Him no matter how rough it gets. And in eternity, if we will be greatly rewarded. That's the point. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is not here, that's future. And be self-controlled. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's self-discipline. In other words, you may have alcohol in your background, you may have crack cocaine, you may have all sorts of other things in your background. Get a grip. No excuses. Don't do it. And you're not going to do it because you're looking forward to that day when you're going to be with Jesus. And you're going to honor Him now so that when we are before Him, He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Proverbs 4:20-23 tells us to nurture the heart. How does this help us prepare our minds for action? Notice, my son, give attention. You know, I have led many a family devotions when my kids were younger. Many, many family devotions. And I remember at different times having to stop and go over to a particular one of my children and said, now listen up. Give attention. That's the point. God is saying, give attention. Incline your ear. Do not let from your eyes, keep them in the midst. Doesn't this sound like self-control? Keep your hearts with all diligence. How does that sound? It sounds like you and I have a responsibility to really get into this battle with all of our being. For out of it springs the issues of life. That keep your heart with all diligence. Is it important what goes on in your thought life and in your, you know, that immaterial part of you? You bet it is. And you have a discipline, you have a requirement just like I do to discipline that area of our life. Psalms 10:17, Lord, we have heard the desires of the humble, and we will prepare what? Their heart. The humble. The heart will be prepared. You will cease your ear to hear. Mark chapter 7, listen to this one. Mark chapter 7, 20-23, and he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts. There's that heart issue again. Adulterers, fornicators, murderers, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, evil eyes, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Out of the heart of men. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about who you are and how you think. You and I have responsibility to discipline our minds. Sounds very similar. We jump into 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Boy, is it important to control the way you think. Verse 37, by your word you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You ever watch couples fight? The wickedness of the words will define very much what's in the heart. Now, we're going to go talk about noting some of Ephesians 4, 22-24, in light of the time, and Luke, they speak of putting off. I'm just going to rush through this here. That you and I put off. That's the easy part, by the way, of change. Take a look at whatever you're trying to get rid of, whatever behavior, and just put away everything that leads you in that direction. Just do away with it. If it's pornography, burn the stuff. Don't store it in a trunk or something. Burn it. If it's booze, pour it down the drain. But that's only the start. Renewing the mind, that's where the real battle is. And then don't be so stupid as not to recognize that you need to put something in its place. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, the very word after this, says, put away lying. And do what? Speak the truth. You know what verse 25 is? I said to an individual today, I said, verse 25 tells you what to put off. It tells you what to put on. And by the way, it tells you how to renew your mind. Memorize this verse. It would be a very, very good exercise. Ephesians chapter 4 through the end, through 31, is an excellent portion of scripture that talks about putting off, renewing the mind, and putting on in very practical terms. You know, if you're a thief, you're to go get a job and get to work, and you don't just stop stealing, but you get to work, you earn money, and you give to the needs of others. That's the put on right there in Ephesians chapter 4. Notice this parable, Luke chapter 11. And when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places and seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return. This is talked about the unclean spirit. I will return to my house where from which I came. That's if you put off, you don't renew your mind, and you don't put anything in its place. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order because you put off. But you didn't renew your mind and you didn't put something into place. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And the alcoholic who said he couldn't get victory over his alcoholism has put it off for a period of time, but he never renewed his mind and he never put proper Christian behavior in its place. And then when he starts drinking the next time, he says, Christianity doesn't work. Christ, there's no power in that. No, there's no power in false Christianity, and there's no power in unbiblical living, but biblical living there is. And maybe you ought to go back and revisit what the Word of God really says and do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 8. How does the proper attitude towards giving illustrate right thinking flowing into right behavior? Look at this. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes, where? In his heart. Does it matter how you think? Oh, it sure does. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, for God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. What is the renewing of the mind in this verse and that verse, and how does it guard against putting off simply becoming a work of the flesh? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 through 8. But this I say, he who sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. That is a critical area. You know, how much effort have you put into your Christian walk? So many people don't even read the Word of God on a regular basis. They don't have regular prayer. They aren't meditating on the Word. They're not being viewing themselves as God's ambassador and talking to other people about Christ, and then they can't figure out why they can't live victoriously. You sowed sparingly and you reap sparingly. If you're kind of tired with the insufficiency of your walk with Christ, how about really walking with Christ? It's a different world. A work of the flesh is to earn something under your own power. A renewed mind desires God's desires. And that's what we want. We want to live for God. We want to be the man and woman that God wants us to be. Your challenge, and make it real, is this. Choose an issue in your life to put off. Think about that for a second. Whatever is going on in your life you know ought not to be there, choose it tonight. Choose it right now. Search the scripture to discover the correct way to think about it and renew your mind. Memorize that verse. Mark it in your Bible. Mark other verses that are related to it. And find a way to exhibit this new thinking. In other words, put on. Start doing it differently. And then continue to practice it. It's not easy and it's not automatic, but it does work. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name. Lord, we pray that you would just stir our hearts to be the men and women that God intends for us to be. Stop making excuses. Stop being content with a life that isn't honoring you. And Lord, may we all purpose to bring you glory in every word, every thought, every action of our being, that you would be glorified. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.